Well, we're going to come to the message now, and as you can see from the title over there, we're going to talk about anxiety and the peace of God, thinking about our struggle with anxiety as Christians this morning, and then also looking at God's wonderful way of escape. Hugh Blair called anxiety the poison of life. The poison of life. John Blanchard, who's a well-known Christian writer, some of you have probably read him, said the following: anxiety never strengthens you for tomorrow. It only weakens you for today. I think that's so insightful. And yet, isn't it true that we all struggle with the problem of anxiety? It's common to all of us. And the reason for that is because we've got minds. And we can imagine all kinds of things happening to us, all kinds of outcomes, which of course grip our whole minds and souls and hearts, sometimes with anxiety and concern. I think even the most laid back of us, and I consider myself a fairly laid back guy that doesn't worry too much, suffer from anxiety from time to time. It's no respect of cultures. I know that because I'm a medical doctor. It's also no respect of age. And even as young, relatively young people, we learn how to be anxious. I never forget the feeling in my stomach I used to get when it kind of tightens up like that and ached before I went to the dentist. Our dentists are just terrible things. And back in the day, they're not so developed as they are today. Back in the day, they used to drill every little black spot on your tooth. Oh, my goodness. And if I opened my mouth now, you'd see it's full of fillings. And each of those created awesome, awful anxiety in me. And so we all experience it. We experience it in different areas of life. We experience it in our health sometimes when we come to a health crisis. Sometimes we experience it in personal safety. I think something which is very relevant to many of us in South Africa in this day and age. No doubt wherever you go in the world, personal safety is a huge thing. And of course God has made us with certain reflexes that protect us. Where the adrenaline surges into our bodies and we're ready to either run away or to fight. But here we're talking about anxiety. We experience it in work. Sometimes that interview, which is going to be such a watershed interview to get the job you've been longing for the last 2 years as an unemployed person. Anxiety. How am I going to cope with this? Sometimes in financial matters, as we watch the stock exchange or we watch the interest level rising in our context today, and those loans which we have just look like less and less possible to pay. Lifestyle issues, relational issues also cause much anxiety. Sometimes we conceal it very well, especially the cool kind of guys in our midst who don't show their emotion too much. But eventually it manifests itself. Manifests itself psychologically, physically, spiritually. And many of the sicknesses that modern man suffers from in the world today, most GP calls that we go to are as a result of psychological maladjustment, anxiety, and so on and so forth. We're going to look at a passage this morning that describes anxiety, but also gives us a way of escape. And it's a well-known passage, but before I read it this morning, I would like to say two things. Paul is writing this in the book of Philippians. And he's the writer, and he, at the time of his writing, is in an extremely difficult situation, challenging situation. He was in a Roman prison, probably in stocks or chained to a guard, and facing the massive uncertainty, we read in chapter 1 and end of chapter 1 and into chapter 2, the uncertainty, the possibility of execution on the one hand, cruel execution, and on the other hand, the hope of release. And while the letter to the Philippians is characterized by joy and positiveness and certainty, it's almost certain that these fruits were born in the adversity and suffering of anxiety which must have wrecked his person at that time. Don't believe that Paul was just triumphant automatically. Came out of the furnace of difficulty which he was encountering at the time. And remember too, the second thing before we read, even Jesus in his humanity faced moments of intense anxiety. Think of him in the garden as he faced the cross, both its physical agony and with his divine nature, he knew where he was going. That was his purpose for coming to the world. In his humanity, he was about to experience great physical cruelty and agony, plus the spiritual threat of being the sin bearer for the sins of the world. Listen how he prayed. Prayed in absolute horror at the thought of what lay ahead for him. Father, if you're willing, let this cup pass from me. And then it continues in scriptural text, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. Folks, that's anxiety. So Jesus experienced anxiety in an intense form in his humanness. Now let's turn to the scriptures with those thoughts in mind this morning. I hope you've been able to identify with this problem, this struggle of anxiety. So let's read together from Philippians 4 verse 4. A well-known passage, I think. Philippians 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. That reasonableness, some translations say your moderation or your gentleness. In other words, you don't have to fight for yourself. Why? Because the Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Just so far, wonderful, wonderful passage this. I'm sure it's been a comfort to many, many people. As a pastor, I carry this up my sleeve, and in certain situations, I just read it. And you can almost see the relief on the face of a believer as they realize again the love of God and the peace of God in their difficult situation. First of all, before we go further, we want to look at our passage and what it says about the genesis of anxiety or the origin of anxiety. Anxiety really comes from something very simple. I like this expression. I read it in Martin Lloyd-Jones's book, one of his books. Anxiety comes from the tyranny of circumstances. In other words, where circumstances begin to dominate and rule your life, anxiety is the product which you would face. Mostly, it's even the thought of difficult circumstances before they even occur, or perhaps the escalation of physical or emotional or contextual circumstances that dominate our minds and our emotions. In other words, folks, this morning, it's how you and I handle our circumstances that causes us to be anxious, that leads to anxiety. We see this very clearly from our passage. Verse 7 speaks about the need to have something that can guard our hearts and our minds. In other words, something which can garrison around our hearts and minds and protect them from circumstances and from unpleasantness and from anxiety. Verses 8 and 9 speak about the need for correct use of your mind, for the correct thinking. And he goes into many things there. Beautiful things, think about them, truthful things, honorable things, pure things, lovely things. But then right in verse 9, what you've learned, received, and heard and seen in me. In other words, the gospel. Fill your mind with these kind of things. And so it's clear that we need to do that. So how does anxiety work then? From this passage, I believe the teaching is that our minds feed our hearts or our emotions. And this in turn spills over into our spiritual lives and even to the point of how much we trust God. In theory we trust Him, but how much do we really trust Him in situations of need and pressure? I think this is clear from our own experience. When we have pleasant thoughts, they lead to a good mood and perhaps a sense of closeness to God, and we're pleasant to live with. But when we allow our minds to be filled with foreboding thoughts, dangerous thoughts, it leads to anxiety and even sometimes can begin to eclipse our faith and our trust in God, and we become very unpleasant to live with, grumpy to live with. Does that ever happen to you, or is that only me? I think it's probably me only. You're such wonderful people here today. But here's the key, folks, and this is so important. Our passage gives us the key to the problem. And the key to our problem is we can control our minds. We can put in our minds what we want to put in our minds. It's a choice that you and I have to make. Once our minds are full of the wrong stuff, there's a slippery slope to depression, anxiety, and stress. And everything spins out of control. Minds spill over into our hearts. Hearts spill over into our spiritual life. Our minds, emotions, and our spirits become swamped as a result of our circumstances. That's called the tyranny of circumstances. Are you allowing circumstances to rule your mind and your heart? Are you allowing circumstances to drag you down spiritually in your life? No wonder Blair says, and I really agree with him, anxiety is the poison of life. It'll poison your spiritual life if you allow circumstances to dominate your heart and your mind and not the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. So the next point coming from our passage, not only does this passage show us the genesis or the origin of anxiety and how it works, but the next point is that anxiety is a struggle. Anxiety is not easy to deal with. Anxiety is real. Even if you're an optimist, even if you have a high level of resilience, there will be times when you will be seized by anxiety and concern, and it will dominate your heart and mind. I've had a recent experience with those who follow us as a family. And we didn't make a big thing of this, but about 3 weeks ago, I was lying on my back in hospital, in high care with pumps and drips and all kinds of things. I had a cardiac arrhythmia. I went into atrial fibrillation, and I was worried because it's a nasty one, and it can result in all kinds of things. And so I was in hospital, and the longer I stayed there, and the less I seemed to be responding to the treatment which the doctor was giving me, the more anxiety began to well up in my heart and mind. I imagined, now, where did I put all my stuff? Is Ros going to manage if I don't make it? and so on and so forth. You see what I was doing? I was allowing my imagination to run wild. My mind was feeding my heart, and my heart was becoming more and more discouraged and distressed. The one evening, Pastor Charles visited me, and honestly, he stayed for, I think, 15 minutes or so, but the whole time, I couldn't contain my tears. I was so discouraged with my physical state that I found myself quite ashamed of myself. Charles and I are close together, and he knows me well. I know him well. But there I was, bawling my eyes out, discouraged, anxious about the future. As time went by, I began to recognize in myself a sloppy use of my mind. A sloppy use of my mind. In fact, to the point where I began to recognize that I almost needed to rebuild my personal faith, the base of my personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, because of all these things that were flooding into my life at that stage. And here's two Ericisms. To summarize what we're saying over here, an imagination starved of truth, truth about God, is fertile soil for anxiety, folks, this morning. Fertile soil for anxiety. Whereas the imagination stayed on God, guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. You know, we desperately need this help to guard our minds. A sad thing is, in modern life, people don't look after their minds. Think of the stuff that we're prepared to watch and look at on television. Think of the stuff that we're prepared to read. Think of our response to the news which we hear. Stuffing our minds with all sorts of uncertainties and concerns. Think about even the conversations which we fuel one another with in our homes. Concerns, folks. How do we look after our mind? Oswald Chambers puts it this way. I love this guy. I read him every night. Remember whose you are. Remember whom you serve. Provoke yourself by reconciliation. Hey, these guys have a way of saying it back in the day. Provoke yourself by recollection, and your affection for God will increase tenfold. Your imagination will not be starved anymore, but will be quick and enthusiastic, and your hope will be inexpressibly bright. Our passage also tells us what we should do in situations like this. It says it very clearly over there in the passage. Don't be anxious. Let your requests be made known to God. You say, Eric, I've tried not being anxious. I'm facing a hang of a lot in my life at the moment. And quite frankly, I'm just anxious. I can't crack it. Well, then, have you tried praying? Bring your requests to God. I've tried that too, you say, and it doesn't work. The problem, I believe, with many, many, many of us is that we make prayer an event instead of a process. Instead of something that's ongoing and continuous in our lives, a breathing of prayers to God, we breathe in the rubbish that circumstances and the world give to our minds and to our hearts. Paul makes that very clear here. Prayer is not in a process. Prayer is not just coming with a shopping list of requests to God. Lord, please bless my hubby. Please help me to get better. Please help the stock exchange to improve. No. Paul deals with it here so beautifully in this passage. He said, don't be anxious, but in everything, by prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Each of those words is pregnant with meaning, folks. The original of the word translated here, prayer, has a connotation of worship, of adoration. Has the connotation of resting in His presence, abiding in Him, waiting for Him. Not rushing in with our shopping list of, yes, I want this, I want that, Lord, and I don't feel any better. I can't resist this anxiety that fills my heart. no, wait in His presence. And as you do so, you will see the glory of God. As you read the scriptures, you will see the way in which He met people at the point of their need in difficult times. Reading the story of people like Daniel, even there in the fiery furnace, there was Jesus. The Son of God was with them right in the den. The prayer. So prayer. Prayer doesn't just mean, prayer means coming into the presence of God and focusing upon Him. Supplication. It's a different word from requests. Supplication simply means laying the things before God. Telling Him your heart. Telling Him your need. Not coming with the requests and solutions. He will solve those problems. Not you. And so we need to come and we need to, as it were, lay our lives and circumstances, the circumstances of our land, the circumstances of the elections ahead, the circumstances of the bereavement perhaps which we faced. We need to lay it before the Lord and ask Him to meet us at the point of our need. And then He says over here, prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, recalling past blessings, boosting your trust in the goodness of God by thanking Him. Saying something like, Lord, open my eyes to all the blessings around me. Count your, remember the song we used to sing, Jabu? It was before your time. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. How much there is to thank God for: the breath we breathe, the food we eat, the homes we live in, the families we have. And so, as you pray, as you supplicate, and as you give thanks, last of all, you can bring your requests to God. Requests, I think, are a little bit cheeky, though. I think cheeky. Because what we're saying is, Lord, please do it this way, or please do it that way. He says, bring your requests to God, but God might not answer those specific requests because He has a far greater purpose and a greater way of dealing with us in our time of need. Folks, as you do this kind of praying, slowly but surely the peace of God will begin to fill your hearts and your minds. But you say, Eric, this is nothing more than the power of positive thinking, is it? Oh, that's where you're wrong. It's far more than that. It's got to do with the peace of God, the product of God Himself, a miracle from God Himself, not just the product of our positive thinking. Oh, of course we need to think right. We need to think truth. We need to think biblically, as it says in our passage over here. We need to, as it were, rehearse the gospel in our own experience constantly. But the peace, that comes from God as a gift from Himself. And so the third point here in this passage, I believe, is just a description of this marvelous peace of God. And the God of peace. Did you notice there in verse 7 it says the peace of God will fill your hearts or guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And then down in verse 9 it says the God of peace will be with you. Hey, what more could we want? The God of peace. The peacemaking God. Jesus Christ Himself, who gave Himself to make peace with God, coming in being in our hearts. And so these two go together, the peace of God and the God of peace, and they are all you or I will ever need to counteract anxiety, folks. And I say that with great emphasis this morning. Look how the peace of God is described in our passage. It says it's a peace of God that surpasses all understanding. In other words, there's no explanation for it. It's supernatural. It's miraculous. We cannot manufacture it by our own positive thinking and abiding in the Lord and our own efforts. It's beyond that. Far beyond that. It's a peace of God which comes into our hearts. I don't know if you've ever experienced that kind of peace in your life. I have at times. Other times I've experienced anxiety. I'm a pilgrim on this journey. But that peace of God, I've heard that often people in a context of hijackings, I've often heard the testimony that people have said, man, there we were being held at gunpoint, but I just felt such a calm. That's a miracle. That's God's own wonderful peace, which He shed into our hearts. It's not only miraculous, this peace of God, it's powerful. These words, oh man, I wish we could all automatically read and understand Greek. But this word used here in the translation, will guard your hearts, has the meaning of planting a garrison. In other words, God gives us a bunch of soldiers, a garrison of soldiers who will surround our hearts and our minds and guard us. That's what he's saying over here. It's powerful. It's miraculous, this peace of God. But perhaps most of all, and I think this is the punchline for the passage, it's in Christ Jesus. Read it again. The peace of God which passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Just pause and think with me for a moment. All that the Lord Jesus does for us to be at peace. Well, number one, He came that we might have peace with God. He incarnated Himself and lived amongst us. He experienced all the things that we go through. And finally, He gave His life upon the cross so that we as vile sinners, subjects of the wrath of God, could know peace with this holy God. Surely our God is a God of peace. He engineered peace. He made it possible for us to be reconciled to God. But He does even more than that. He gives us His Spirit in our hearts, the Comforter, the Parakletos, the one who not only draws alongside us to help us, but the one who is in us to advise us and help us in our time of need. He is with us in a deep, deep, deep sense. He intercedes for us in our time of need. That wonderful passage, Romans 8, verse 26. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. And aren't we weak? Aren't there those moments when we are weak and filled with trouble and anxiety and issues in our lives? He comes. Even when we do not know what to pray for as we ought, the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. That's a miracle. But this is part of the peace of God, that in a miraculous way, when we're really in that fire, when we're really in it up to our nose and can hardly breathe anymore, Holy Spirit, who is in us when we're children of God, intercedes before the Father through the merit of the Lord Jesus Christ. See how powerfully and comprehensively this peace of God is in Christ Jesus. And this morning as we sit in this church over here, if there's anybody who's not in Christ Jesus, you need to sort that out. You need to sort that out, not for the sake of your anxiety, but for the sake of your soul and for your eternal destiny. Listen to the way that Martin Lloyd-Jones describes this peace of God. He says, you can't understand this peace. You cannot imagine it. You cannot even believe it in a sense. And yet it is happening. And you are experiencing it and enjoying it. It is God's peace that is in Christ Jesus. Isn't that awesome? Another passage, Isaiah 26, verse 3 and 4. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is an everlasting rock. He is not a rock that is moved by earthquakes. He is not a rock that undergoes weathering. He is not a rock that can be shifted in any way. He is an everlasting rock upon whom we can place our faith and our trust. Folks, we go through these times, don't we, of anxiety. And I think the Lord allows them, actually. I think the Lord, like he allowed it in the life of Job and the scriptures, he allows these things to come to us, never outside his control, but always knowing, as it were, just how much of the concoction of life he can put together for your need and for my need, so that we might turn afresh to God. Where are you today? Where are you in your faith and your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you struggling with anxiety? Is that the giveaway, actually, that you're allowing circumstances and life to dominate your life instead of faith? Could it be? Do you understand now how anxiety works from this passage and from the scriptures? How we desperately need God's peace to protect our hearts and our minds. The truth of God to protect our hearts and our minds. The truth of the gospel. Do you desire peace with God? Perhaps as an unrepentant sinner here this morning, do you need to make your peace with God? Do you perhaps need to come back closer to the Lord than you were before, confessing your sin of unbelief and coming afresh to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ? What you need to do is to start praying in a certain kind of way, like we heard today. Coming into the presence of God, reflecting upon himself, reflecting upon who you are and all your miserable insufficiencies, and seeing afresh his sufficiency for you, and as it were, soaking your heart in the blessedness of those truths as you come to the Lord Jesus. But also, folks, and I want to really end on this note today, you will find yourself, if you do that, you will find yourself wanting to confess your sin of unbelief and put right with God. Listen to how C.S. Lewis puts it. Anxiety is not only a pain which we must ask God to relieve. It's also a weakness we must ask him to pardon. Let me think of who God is. In all his goodness and grace and magnificence, we miserable little creatures who've been saved by his great grace and brought into his family and can draw upon that grace by faith in Christ, who are we to doubt him? Surely that is something which we must confess and put right with God. So I don't know where you stand this morning. I'm going to pray for us. Just pray that you would be able to come back to the place of full trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Lord, we need that forgiveness. We confess that often our faith in you is weak. Often, Lord, we allow our minds to become cluttered by all kinds of things which shouldn't ever be there. And we pray that you would forgive us for that. The sin of anxiety, our preoccupation with our circumstances, our preoccupation with the idols of things that we make around about us, and then worry when we haven't got them anymore. Oh, Lord, we confess this to you. We just pray that you would cleanse us afresh this morning. But thank you also for the triumph of this message, Lord. Thank you that we can come to you because you've made peace with the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that we can come to you and we can enjoy all the blessings of knowing Christ in us, the hope of glory, the peace of God, and intimacy with the God of peace. We bless you this morning. I want to just pray, Lord, if there's anyone in this congregation who's got a specific need in this area, that you would just minister to them and speak to them. Give them the courage to speak to Pastor Jay or to myself or to one of the elders. Just that you would help them to resolve these issues with you this morning. We pray it in Jesus' name with many, many thanks. Amen.